welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to start this morning in a passage, actually one of the Gospels, Luke chapter 4, and this is really Jesus as he's getting ready to get started in his ministry. He's referring back to a prophetic scripture in Isaiah 61, and he's about to let them know that this passage that had been prophesied, oh, maybe 700 years before, is just come to pass. And so he quotes this passage again. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And again, we know that when he got done saying this, he said, "Hey, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." They didn't like that, you know, because that was something that was going to come. You know, it couldn't be here and now, but yeah, it was here and now. Their deliverance, their freedom was here and now. And so Jesus let him know that. And as he was letting him know that, he said something very powerful within this context of Isaiah. He said, "He sent me to heal the brokenhearted." If you take that word brokenhearted and kind of Hebrew it out, you'll see there's basically two parts to it. It's shabar and lab, broken hearted. Shabar, broken, lab, hearted. Shabar means broken, torn, crushed, destroyed, hurt. Lab means feelings, will, intellect, the center of your being. So basically he's saying he's come to heal the broken hearted. Or you could just put it this way in a real plain English sense. He's come to heal broken feelings. That was one of the ministries that was within him because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. He came to heal the broken hearted. Heal broken feelings. You know, when you think of things that are broken, I mean, the things that I think of probably that come to mind would be like broken bones, something physical, natural. You know, and if you've ever dealt with broken bones, I've dealt with broken bones. I've had a broken wrist once, just playing around at our grade school on the kind of the jungle gym there, just hanging on the side. And one of my friends, you know, wanting to be funny, was, you know, I was just kind of swinging. He just came and pushed me a little bit harder and a little bit harder. And pretty soon, I just couldn't hold on anymore, and I had to let go. And when I came down, the impact of my fall and holding it broke my wrist, okay? So I had a broken bone. And I had a broken bone because of something somebody did to me, all right? But there are other things that we can do. Maybe we're just kind of being careless, reckless, trying things, and we can break our own bones, kind of doing foolish stuff. Or, you know, sometimes things can happen. You could just be in an accident, and your bones can break. There's a lot of different reasons why you experience broken bones, you know. But the same thing is the case, you know, whether I break your bone, my bone was broken because something somebody did to me, or I was foolish, or I was in an accident, at the end of the day, that bone is broken and it's not working. It's not functioning right. It needs healing. And it's the same with broken feelings. There's different causes and occasions our feelings get broken. Our feelings can be broken because of personal failure, something we did. We can break our own hearts in this sense, you know, and do something. Or people can do something to us. Or something just happens. It could be just something tragic that happens that breaks our heart that was not even known about or intended. A lot of different occasions, but the same thing can happen to feelings. You can have broken feelings. And in the same way, if it's a leg that's broken, I can't function on a broken leg. When our feelings are broken, we need healing for our feelings the same way we need healing for a leg or a limb or something like that. It inhibits us from functioning. So there's a brokenness that needs healing. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to heal broken feelings. And that's a pretty amazing thing. You know, a natural physical healing is actually less spectacular than the healing of a broken heart. I've had broken bones and they heal up. But you know, when you have a brokenness of your heart or your emotions or something like that, sometimes that can take longer than to heal a physical thing. But the same Spirit that heals the physical heals the emotional, heals the inside. In other words, there's nothing in the spectrum of healing that God's love and healing power doesn't touch or doesn't reach. And this morning, I want to look at something, and I'm kind of take two passages and put them together. First of all, I just kind of want to start with this idea, this concept, that God can and does heal broken feelings. But here's another thing Jesus said that was so powerful. He said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Rest for your souls, your psuche, kind of like the old Hebrew word lab, that would be kind of like the Greek word psuche, where it's your emotional being. And what is Jesus saying? He says, come to me, take my yoke, and learn from me, and you're going to find rest for your souls. You're going to find a healing for your emotions. So we kind of see this, the what, the promise that God can do this for us. And Jesus kind of gives us even a little bit more under the hood and shows us kind of how that works, how that happens. How can he put, you know, Humpty Dumpty back together again, you know, when it's your emotions? And he says, there's a few things that you're going to do. You're going to come to me, you're going to take my yoke, and you're going to learn from me. And so I would love to think, you know, and I've just, you know, been at this a little over 30 years, endeavoring to walk with God and live for God and whatnot, but I've found that a lot of times that healing of a broken heart is not just a zap. I mean, thank God for the encouragement, the love, and the experiences that we have in God, but a lot of times there's a healing for the broken heart that does involve process. And it's going to be a process that is God-ordained. I mean, something that we can take God at his word and experience that supernatural healing. So what I'm doing is I'm wanting this morning to kind of take two concepts and bring them together, all right? So we know that Jesus is our heart healer, but we also know kind of how he asks us to interact with him as it relates to rest for our souls. So the title of the message this morning is Healing Broken Emotions, Come, Take, Learn. All right? Come unto me, take my yoke, learn from me. So there is a healing. There is an anointing to heal the brokenhearted, to heal broken emotions. But there's also an interaction with Jesus through which that healing comes. And when you come out on the other side of that healing, not only are your emotions healed, but you know Jesus better. You know him more. There is more of an intimate understanding of his love for you, and you walk with him. And so there's more going on here than just feeling hurt and feeling better in the end. There is a working with and knowing Jesus as your good shepherd. So, healing broken emotions. Come, take, and learn. So we kind of foresee what the points are going to be this morning. Point number one, come to me. Come to me, Jesus says. And you'll see kind of in the phrase below that, kind of almost a natural side to that too. We kind of started talking about broken bones and then broken emotions. And as you kind of think about the healing of a broken physical natural thing, there is a correlation to the healing of a broken heart and broken emotions. And one of the things that we see and one of the things that happens when you do break a bone is that you restrict movement. One of the first things that that doctor is going to do is they're going to put that bone, that limb in a cast to restrict the movement. not forever, but just for a season, for a period of time. Because in restricting that movement, there's going to be healing, a natural healing. And when Jesus says, come to me, there's a speaking also to a certain kind of precious restriction of movement emotionally, where you're going to find healing in him. Come to me. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's New King James. Passion says, are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Come to me, and I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. That's a good word picture right there. The Message says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. In other words, there's going to be a coming away. And he says, come to me. Come to me. Now, you might think, well, yeah, of course, we want to come to Jesus. That's good. We want to come away to him. But I'm going to just say this too. Come to me. And Jesus, this is Jesus saying, come to me. We understand what that is saying theologically, but emotionally, when you're going through things and your emotions are hurting, and God is somehow in the picture, you can question, is God a safe place? Why did God let this happen? You know, depending on how you broke your emotion, or whatever that is, or whatever the circumstance is, there can be a sense to where, man, I thought I was doing things right, and this happened anyway, or this hurt. There has to be something, as it comes to the Lord healing your heart, that you have to decide that Jesus is a safe place. There's got to be a decision. And I wish I could say I've always come to that decision first. A lot of times we'll try other things, and then we realize, Jesus, he is a safe place. You know how the enemy, we live in a world where God is framed in so many ways, in so many circumstances that you wonder about God, but Jesus is saying, don't wonder about me, come to me. I am a safe place. It's okay. I'm going to be here for you. So I'm coming to the Lord, and here we see in Hebrews, I just love to see these in connection. It says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet so that which is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. All right? Here we're kind of seeing, again, a connection. I'm going to make a straight path. And in this context, I'm making a straight path to Jesus. I'm coming to Jesus. Jesus is my focus. I'm hurt here, but I'm just focusing on Jesus, not on people. I'm focusing on him. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. I love in Romans, the Apostle Paul writes, you know, who are you to judge another man's servants? To his own master, he'll stand or fall, and he will stand, for God is able to make him stand. And so we're coming to that point where we're saying, okay, Jesus, I'm coming to you. I'm just totally restricting my movement right now emotionally. I'm not trying to figure anything out. I'm not trying to problem solve. I'm just coming to you. I need you. I need your help. That's humbling your heart. But this is where his healing for the brokenhearted comes. You know, a doctor can't fix your broken leg if you never go to the hospital. You got to go to that doctor to get help. Come unto me, Jesus said. The thing you find out about God never forces you to do anything. God doesn't force somebody to receive Jesus. There's a drawing of the Holy Spirit, and they got to decide. God isn't like a demonic spirit that tries to drive and harass. God is peaceful. He's gentle. He will do what you allow him to do as you work with him. He's kind. That's just the way he is. And even when it comes to your own heart healing, he says, come unto me. There's still a part we got to play to come unto him. And so we're doing that. I'm making a straight path for my feet, so that which is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Here, you're kind of seeing this allegorical language of in your heart, you're making a straight path. Okay, Lord, here we go. Here's a great example, I think we see, and this is an event that happened during Jesus' ministry. It says, now it happened as they entered a certain village, a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." And Jesus answered her and said, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." New Living says, "But the Lord said to her, 'My dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her.'" When it comes to the healing of the brokenhearted and working with your Lord as it relates to your healing of the brokenhearted, there is going to be that decision that, okay, Lord, here we go. I'm serious about this. I am looking to you. You're my great physician. You're my Lord. You're my shepherd. There are some things that I'm going to get at your feet. But there's a determination. And this is where, again, it is a, you know, it's easy to live on top of stuff until you get serious about it. And that's when the healing is going to begin. And I've just had things to in my life, too, where I've just had to decide to get serious about some things. You know, and, you know, it's always a good thing to get in the Word of God. It's always a good thing to get saturated with the Word of God. But there are times when it's absolutely vital that you get saturated with the Word of God. There are times when you absolutely need it. You know, where you just can't, you can't play with things. I need God. I need Him. I remember we were at a teaching crusade, ministry crusade a few years back in Green Bay. And one of the preachers was preaching, and you know, there's thousands of people in the auditorium. And it's good to kind of go and get refreshed and built up and strengthened and in these different seminars and teaching times and whatnot. And but this was really like a crusade. I mean, gospel and good stuff going on. And there was a preacher up there, and he was preaching. And, you know, as he was preaching and teaching and ministering, man, the guy next to me was just really getting after it. I mean, he was like, "Amen, praise God, just wow." I mean, just really exuberant over everything the preacher said, you know. Now, I'm a charismatic, word of faith, Bible-believing guy, but, you know, there's a good spectrum of what that means when you're talking Bible-believing, you know. Everywhere from the stoic to the chandelier swinging, okay. Now, I'm probably a little more on this side over here. But I was sitting next to a chandelier swinger at the time. And it's like, oh, wow, yeah, amen, amen, praise, that is good, yeah, amen, right? But, you know, and I just thought, oh, that's good, that's nice. But as the service was going on, I mean, it just seemed to be getting stronger and louder to the point to where people were looking back in our direction. And some of them were looking at me. And I'm, you know, I'm like, I'm not doing this, but on the inside I'm doing this, you know. They're kind of like that get a life, you know, look. I'm like, oh, man, okay, well, praise God. And I'm thinking, you know, to myself, well, you know, maybe he's just really that hungry for the Word of God, you know. I that's just believing the best, you know. And as he's kind of going on and just really going even a little deeper toward the end, all of a sudden I get an elbow in the ribs, and he's just doing this to me, and I'm going somewhere with this. How about you? Are you going somewhere with this? I'm going, oh, I go, yeah, praise God, all right. And in my mind, I'm going, no, nobody's that hungry for the Word of God. This is ridiculous. This is over the top here. And right toward the end of the service, you know, they're finally getting ready to dismiss the service. Praise God, we're getting done. And just before he dismisses the service, he says, oh, I forgot one more thing. The Lord specifically dealt with me about this service to pray for anyone who's just recently been diagnosed with cancer. And the guy immediately, and I didn't even notice this at first because I knew that there was like somebody right next to him. I could see that there was an arm around him. But he immediately shot up for prayer as somebody recently diagnosed with cancer. And then as I looked over now, who I didn't see before, was his wife. and his little 5-year-old daughter curled up in her mommy's lap. And the preacher said, "Now stretch forth your hand toward these folks as we stand with them in faith for their healing." And I'm seeing this mom with tears running down her eyes, stretching forth her hand for her husband, and his little daughter stretching forth her hand for her daddy's healing. You know, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, "Yes, he is that hungry for the Word of God." Thank God for those times we can be privately rebuked in our own heart. But it was like, okay, Lord. And I just remember sticking my hand out and saying, "Lord, sorry for judging." And just praying, "Lord, standing in faith with my brother for the healing through the things that he is going through." You know, you don't know what people are going through. You know, you can kind of see some things on the outside. But I'm telling you what, there are times, and that man, and I've always remembered that too, at times in my life when I've thought, I got to get serious about some things. And that to me was a picture. That guy was serious. I'm going on with God. I'm going for it. Lord, what is he doing? He's at the feet of Jesus. You know, I was almost, in that story, I'm almost like a martyr. I'm kind of, you know, trying to, appearances. You don't care about appearances. When you're serious, it's like, I don't care. I'm shamelessly, Lord, I want you. I need you. Come unto me. Come unto me. We're talking about a heart healing, a broken emotions, not playing, not trying, but I'm doing it. Lord, I'm finding my help in you. I'm finding my trust in you. Psalm, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, heals my heart, leads me into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What do we find that out about the Lord? One of the first things that he's going to do, and you just kind of think of that cast, there's a restricting of movement. I'm not here to instigate. I'm not here to calculate. I'm not here to problem solve. I'm not here. In the healing of my broken heart, there is going to be a coming unto him where I, like Mary here, I'm at the feet of Jesus. It's that one thing. She's chosen. One thing is needed, verse 42. Mary has chosen that good part. And as you're serious about, Lord, I need to be healed up from this, I'm choosing that one thing. I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's figurative, of course. I'm making that straight path so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. So there's a decision to restrict movement. What are we saying in the natural? We're saying, I'm going to take some time here. Almost like you would fast food. There can be issues, problems, situations. I'm going to fast them. I'm not going there. I'm not going there for a while. Lord, I'm just going to come to your feet. Unless the Spirit of God shows me something or prompts me, you know, by the Spirit of God or gives me revelation, that's one thing. But in my heart, Lord, I'm just seeking after you. I'm coming to you with some things. And you are my focus. You're my heart. You're my Lord. Another scripture Jesus said, the lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is good, your whole body's full of light. But if your eye is bad, the whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. Now, this is a case of, you know, money and covetousness, but you can't serve any two masters, regardless of whatever that other master is. You know, whatever that other master is, it could be bitterness, hatred. There can be other masters too. You can't serve the two. But what's the difference? Your eye is single. The lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is good, your whole body's full of light. What are we talking about? Step one in healing broken emotions and how our good shepherd does it. He just, number one, off the bat, bids us come unto me. Come to the doctor. Allow me to put you in a very temporary, healthy cast where you're sitting at my feet choosing the one thing. It's time to get that serious for God, that serious about the Word of God. Forget about what other people do. Forget about what's normal to other people. I need your Word, Lord Jesus. I'm coming unto you. Help me to fill my day with your love, your grace, your mercy. You're there. You're a safe place. And again, this is a decision. I'm not blaming God. God isn't my heartbreaker. God is my heart healer. So I'm coming unto him. I'm trusting him. I'm coming on purpose, not to figure it out, but to let him minister healing to me. Number two, not only am I going to come unto him and kind of restrict my emotions, my movement toward him, but he also says, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. This is kind of where we would say from a natural standpoint, not only am I restricting motion, but there's pain management here. You know, if you've broken a bone, it's a painful thing. And in the natural, there's different forms of medication and things that you can take for pain to help relieve the pain. Now, you know that even though that pain is relieved, that you're not healed up. It's just the pain. You're not feeling pain, all right? But you know that even though you're feeling pain relief and you're thankful for pain relief, that there's a bigger work of healing, that those bones are starting to mend together, all right? But while those bones are mending together, there is also kind of this interim place where you have pain management, all right? Where God is going to give you grace. Jesus said, take my yoke. Let's take a look at a few scriptures along these lines. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you. The message, walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Philippians 4:6-8, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, here's God's pain therapy, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Very powerful passage of Scripture, and this is where we begin to find out how God helps us in that time where he says, you know, take my yoke upon you. Verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing. There's a lot of things that cause anxiety that are a heavy yoke. Guilt is a heavy yoke. Bitterness is a heavy yoke. Fear is a heavy yoke. All right? These are all things emotionally that break us down and keep us broken down. And there's a point here where we're making a decision. And Jesus says, take my yoke. In other words, he's got an exchange for these things. There's an exchange for condemnation. There's an exchange for bitterness. There's an exchange for fear. And what he's saying here, is he says, be anxious for nothing. You think all the things that can cause anxiety. He says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. In other words, he's saying by faith. By faith, begin to release it out. Begin to cast that care upon him. You know, the Lord says in 1 Peter says, therefore, humble yourselves into the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. The Passion, pour out all your worries and stress upon him and leave them there, for he always tenderly cares for you. So what is this taking his yoke? You're beginning to just by faith begin to say, Lord, I'm pouring it out. I'm pouring it out on you right now. And I'm not pouring it out right now so that I can even have all the answers to everything right now. I'm getting it, we'd say, get it off your chest. You know, you're speaking. You know, there's things that you can say, you can tell people, you can talk to people, but until you've talked to God about it, you haven't prayed. You can tell people and give them something for them to respond to. But prayer is when you cast it on the Lord and give him something to respond to. The supernatural power of God goes to work on your behalf. And saying, Lord, I'm afraid about this. I'm concerned about this. Whatever those anxious feelings, those thoughts that are causing that brokenness, I'm just pouring it out. And the cool thing about this pain management place, and you can just see it in verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses your understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And this is where you've got to want the peace more than the understanding. You want the pain management. That's the pain management of his peace. I've related, you know, to our Door of Life family several times, and Julie and I went to Rhema. It was our second year. We went through a couple miscarriages, and it broke our hearts. And that second one was like 10 times worse than the first one. It emotionally, it breaks you, hurts you. Why God? Why God? But to be able to come before him, and I remember doing that. Okay, Lord, here I go. I'm coming before you by faith, and the Lord directed me to this passage of Scripture. He said, in my why God situation, he said, Ed, I've got something for you. Just let your request be made known unto me. There's nothing wrong with asking why. Nothing wrong with pouring out those stresses, pouring them out. But you're pouring them out knowing that he hears you. And he says, the peace which surpasses understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, there's something greater than the understanding. God was just, he let me know right there. He said, Ed, if you want the peace that passes your understanding, if you want relief from this emotional pain, then you've got to want the peace even more than the understanding. Kind of the way we're wired is, okay, if I know, if I understand, then I'll have peace. With God, he flips that. He says, let me know, I'll give you peace. Trust me, and I'll give you peace. When you experience this, it can be almost so unnatural, because you can pray about something and you don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know why. You can't explain anything, but there's just peace. And you feel like, I shouldn't have peace. So you can go back in the natural and start to figure things out and worry yourself all over again. But that is a supernatural peace. And it's okay. You don't have to throw a flag there. That is true. That's verse 7. He'll give you a peace that passes your understanding. And it's kind of like this. The peace is the engine. The understanding is the caboose. The engine of peace is what will sustain you. Notice it will guard your hearts and minds. It'll keep your heart and mind in that place. Again, when you're wanting emotional healing and you got your limb in a cast, if you break off that cast before it's time, that's bad. It's going to re-injure something. But you're going to keep it in that cast. And what does the peace do? It keeps it. It keeps it steady until that time. And I remember we were praying, again, had that miscarriage. And I remember if the Lord would have told me right there the technical reason why we had the miscarriage, I wouldn't have even had the vocabulary to understand it. It was a certain bacteria of something. We were able to knock it out quickly through an antibiotic, and we were good to go. It was amazing. But I didn't even know, I wouldn't have even had the medical vocabulary if he would have told me exactly what it was. But I just needed to do was trust him. Trust him. And then you see verse 8, finally, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely. This isn't just positive and stay positive for the sake of being positive. This is faith. This is saying, Lord, I'm going to stay on those things that are true, noble, just. I'm going to keep it in the cast. I'm going to stay in that place of peace. Those adjectives of verse 8 work together with the peace of verse 7. They work hand in hand. In other words, God is saying, I'm going to give you my peace. In verse 8, he's saying, work with me. Work with me. Work with that peace. You notice that heart healing? There's a working together. I would love it always to just be a zap. Zap me. And I'm a different. No, there's going to be a working together in your own healing of your brokenhearted. I'm believing for that peace. And Lord, thank you for that peace, and I'm working with you. Okay, Lord, true, honest, just, pure. I'm working with that peace. I'm believing the best. I'm seeing it. And pure, lovely, good report. What's happening is I'm staying in that place of peace. Hebrews 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that was set before him. Because Jesus had never lost sight, this is the message, of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish, and in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. Now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through, and that will shoot adrenaline in your souls. What he's saying, there is a joy that was set before him. And so, as we're talking about, just that, take my yoke, this is the thing that we're going to realize, it's a yoke of faith, and you're going to take it by faith. I don't care. Let me just talk to folks. Maybe you've been walking with the Lord for a while, and you've been around this block before. No matter how long you've lived for God, the rules don't change. It's faith is faith. Faith is the same. No matter how mature you are, or no matter how mature you think you are, you're going to go back to casting your cares in the Lord. You're going to go back to by faith. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, evil speaking be put away from you. Be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And if you try to emotionally process this, that's hard, but his yoke, it's a yoke of faith. You take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. You don't carry his stuff with your feelings. It's a yoke of faith. It's a yoke of trust in his word. It's simple trust. And this taking the yoke gets you back to that place of simple faith again. I'm just going to do it his way. I'm going to receive that grace. Here's kind of an example, a real live example in Acts. When they had laid many stripes on them, this is the apostles when they were preaching the gospel, threw them into prison, commanded the jailer to keep them safely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison, fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to the Lord. Prisoners were listening to them. Think about this. These guys were beat, whipped, dark, deep, inner part place. It says, but Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Prisoners listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake. Foundations of the prison were shaken immediately. All the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. What do we see in verse 25? We see pain therapy. We see pain management. They were physically beaten, hurting, abused in a place that didn't look good. It didn't smell good. It was dark. There was nothing on the outside that you could draw, but there was something on the inside they drew from. And they began to sing praises to our God. You know, the proverb says, a cheerful heart does good like a medicine. There are times when it's a yoke. It's a light yoke. I'm just going to choose, man, I'm going to choose to worship the Lord. You know, this is kind of the thing that I've learned too, and I kind of learned this early on when I was just endeavoring to live for God. I was a young guy, I was a teenager, and just kind of came over and really got an amazing experience and born again. And one of the things that I just began to find out as I began to find out when the Holy Spirit's in you, you have a sense of what's right. You have a sense of an anointing. The anointing, the Bible, the scripture says, the anointing abides within. You need not that any man teach you, but that anointing teaches you all things. And I began to find out there's things I could watch and there was an anointing on it. There's things I would listen to. There's an anointing on that. There's things, that's good. That's good. And think, wow, that's good, and then kind of walk away and do something else. When you're talking about that pain management, the Holy Spirit is going to say, go to those things that are good. Go to those things that you know are anointed. Fill yourself. Stay in that place where it's good, where it's anointing, where it's grace. You know, that is such a powerful, powerful thing. And again, as a young guy, man, there's a lot of people that would come at me. You got a young guy just really on fire for God. That's kind of like, there's a lot of people that will kind of pull on you and pull you in different directions. I had little groups and, man, had some friends that just wanted me to kind of go off with them and be a part of their deal. And not that it's bad or anything, but I just remembered there's a lot of things that was going on. And I remember having to make a decision one day. I was going to a good church. And I was really getting pulled on to go out of that church to something else, to another little Bible study group of people who were kind of the remnant called out group that kind of were putting up with the harlot mainstream church and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, come and be one of us, the few, the proud, the remnant, the called out. And they had it right, the few, the proud. And I remember just having to decide, you know, am I going to, I can see myself, I can see the bedroom, I can see the mirror, I can see myself looking at it, and in that inflection point, I'm going to go one direction or the other. And it was such a momentous occasion. I thought, I'm either going to stay with that simple message of grace that I know is true, or I'm about to get off and be a really super duper spiritual person that I don't fully know, but I'm kind of in awe of and intimidated by. And I had to make a decision. But the anointing on the inside said, yeah, go with the peace. Go with grace. Go with that. You know, there was just something about this. I remember my father-in-law, who wasn't my father-in-law at the time, I remember when he would just talk about the grace of God, he would just kind of quote some of those scriptures. You know, by works, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his grace he has saved us. I remember just a simple message of grace. And it was like, that's true, that's right, that's good. And there's other stuff that are compelling, but it doesn't have that. When you're in that place of pain management and healing for your broken heart, go with that. Go with where you know that anointing is, where you know there's an anointing, where you know there's grace, and stay there. Just stay there. Stay where that grace is. Stay where you know that anointing is. I don't care how compelling and higher up and that, just forget all that. Be really simple. And keep it a simple faith, simple grace, and stay there. It could be a certain songs, music, a teaching, something you know it's there. Stay there. Just stay there over and over and over and stay there until the Holy Spirit shows you something else. Keep it very simple. And let that healing begin. There's healing. There's a peace that passes you. I just love that anointing. I'm familiar with that anointing. I just want to stay where that anointing is in my healing process. I'm not figuring anything out. I'm not problem solving. The understanding is going to come later. The peace comes first. The anointing and the grace of God. By faith, I know the understanding is going to come later. As I'm doing it, as I'm in that place, then I'm going to learn of Him. This is where understanding comes. You know, we think we want the understanding so bad. A lot of times it's just our frustration talking. Because you want to know something? God wants to give you the understanding. And you're about to get it. I don't want to say whether you want it or not, because you got to want it. But He wants to give you understanding. He wants to shine a light in a way that you're going to see some things. That's why He says, learn of Me. This isn't just restricting movement and not feeling pain and sticking your head in the sand and da-da-da. No. We're just preparing you. We're preparing you to hear. We're giving you ears to hear, because He's going to tell you. He's going to give you understanding. He's going to help you walk out of this thing. And in that learning, there's healing. Matthew, this is a few different translations again. Learn of Me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. Message, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with Me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Passion, learn My ways and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. You'll find refreshment and rest in Me. Okay? There's a come unto Him. There's a taking His yoke, doing it His way. But then there's also a learn of Me. And we see restored function. All right? When you're in a cast, you're not in a cast forever. I mean, praise God, that cast, when I was in first grade, came off weeks later. And I've been able to use and enjoy the function of my wrist ever since. That's good. And that's kind of the purpose again. At some point, that cast is going to come off. And you're going to be able to go places emotionally that maybe you can't right now. And you're not supposed to right now. And you don't have to put pressure on yourself or have other people put pressure on you to get that cast off. No. That cast comes off when the Lord shows you it's time to come off. And how do you know when to take the cast off? There's revelation. There's a learning. There's a knowing. And it's, I see it. I got it. Praise God. Here we go. And so John 8:31-32 says it this way. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in My word, you're My disciples indeed. You will know the truth, and that truth will make you free. If you embrace the truth, it will release more freedom into your lives. I think of that kind of the old joke. I've heard it many times, different forms, but you got the guy who's about to go off the cliff, and he gets out of the car, and he's rolling forward. Momentum carries him over, but he miraculously catches a branch on the edge of the cliff while the car crashes into oblivion below him. And as he's holding onto that branch, he's saying, please, is there anybody up there? Help me. And he hears that voice, and he says, yes, I'm God, I'm here, I can help you. And the guy says, oh, yes, thank you, God. What do you want me to do? And God says, let go of the branch. Long pause. Guy says, Is there anybody else up there? When we're in those inflection points of needing to learn something, there is going to be that letting go. I've heard a common definition of insanity. I don't know how, but it would say you kind of do the same thing over and over, the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And when you're in a place of the healing of the brokenhearted and you find yourself, you're holding on to that branch and you're crying out to God and you're hearing Him say, let go. You don't want to do that. There's a vulnerability in that. You'd be doing something new and different. I want to keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. I'm familiar with that. That's what I'm comfortable with. There's just a part of us that want, because it's familiar. Even if it's not right or good or working, it's familiar. I'm going to hold on to this thing, man. I mean, the laws of probability got to catch up with me sometime. You know, just keep doing what I'm doing. But it never does. Something does have to change. You know, the joke says, is there anybody else up there? Well, there is somebody else up there. There are plan B, C, and D. Blessed are those who don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stay in the path of the sinner, sit in the seat of the scornful, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and His law he meditates day and night. And there have been those times, and this is where we're going to learn from Him, where God is going to say, do something different. Do something different. Trust me in this area. You know, the enemy has a way of jading us, creating cynicism towards spiritual things because we got the 15 cases where it didn't work and I don't get it and I don't understand. But this isn't about everybody else. This is just about you and Him and your good shepherd and you at the feet of Jesus and listening to the Spirit of God for yourself and listening to what He's shown you to do. That anointing teaches you all things. And there's going to be some times when you're standing there and you're going to be at that inflection point where the Lord is going to say, bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That is a letting go moment because there's nothing in your math or natural problem solving that would say that. And yet, there's healing in that. It's amazing. Isaiah 61:2 says, arise from the depression, prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life, shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth, a dense darkness, all the peoples, but God shall arise upon you, O Jerusalem, and His glory shall be seen upon you. I love that. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Arise to a new life. There is something about this, even though it's vulnerable to let go of that branch, let go of the old way, there's a faith in that. And as you begin to do that, you begin to let go, you know something. I'm vulnerable here, yes. I'm making myself vulnerable to God, but there is a faith that rises up in that, saying, here we go, Lord. In other words, I'm not protecting myself anymore. There's a freeing in that. Jesus said, those who seek to save their life will lose it, but those who lose their life for my sake, you'll find it. In other words, the Holy Ghost and the Word of God and God Himself honors this. I can preach about it on a Sunday morning, but you in the privacy of your own heart, life, home, situation, whatever that is, when you do this, God's going to bless that. Into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit. I'm trusting you with this. Have your way. God will bless that. God will begin to show you things. God, you'll begin to learn of Him. Begin to see things like you hadn't seen it before. Like we said, the Spirit can bear witness with what's safe. Not only does the Spirit bear witness with what's safe as far as the anointing, that same Spirit's going to show you things, reveal to you things. He will shine things on your light and say, Lord, help me. Help me, change me. This is where there's an area of whole intimate conversation that's just between you and God. Again, you can't capitalize it in a message, but I can point you in a direction. And as you let go, and as you begin to realize, there will be dialogue between you and God. He'll give you the ability to be honest with yourself. And there's so much healing in that. Say, oh, wow, I could see, wow, I could see that, but now I can see this. He'll show you things supernaturally by his Spirit, but there will be a letting go. In other words, I'm not going to do it the same way. I'm going to let go. I'm going to do it God's way. I am going to forgive. I'm going to pray, love, bless. I'm going to receive mercy and grace. Father God, I receive mercy and grace. Thank God he can cleanse my conscience from any dead works to get back up and serve the living God. The power of the blood still cleanses consciences today. Receive it and walk in that newness of life. Also, finally, when the Lord brought back the captives who returned to Zion, we were like those who dreamed. It seemed so unreal. Then our mouths filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. These were folks who were under oppression. They said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We're glad. Turn to freedom, our captivity, and restore our fortunes, O Lord, as the streams in the south and Negeb are restored by the torrents. They who sow in tears shall reap in joy and singing. You know, when you're in that place of broken emotions and things like that, you can almost feel unlucky. You can kind of feel like everything is against you. But when God turns that, there is a turning. When you begin to learn of him, and there is restored function, and all of a sudden you can put pressure on that, and you can go there, and you're not in pain. But you can go there, and you can talk, and you can reason, and you can function. You got a limb back again. You got functionality back again. And not only does that, but it breaks that sense of, oh, I can't do this. No, the favor of God is on me, and I'm walking in wholeness. I don't just feel better. I'm walking in power and authority, and I'm restored, emotionally restored to a place of health and strength going on and helping other folks get restored in strength and moving on as well too. So healing broken emotions, come, take, learn. We just want to, just again, this morning, talk about the fact that God sees through his healing power is not skin deep, but it goes through to the very heart center of our being, our emotions. He knows, I love this scripture, it says all things are naked and open before him. He sees our condition better than we possibly could. Our physical condition, but our emotional condition. He knows how to heal the physical. He knows how to heal the emotional. We need to come unto him. Restrict our movement with, I'm talking about that thing, whatever that thing is, that broken emotion. I'm coming unto you, Lord, with that. I'm Mary sitting at your feet. I'm not worried about a bazillion other things. I'm not even problem solving here. I'm just saying, Lord, here I am with this. Taking your yoke, just letting my request be made known unto you. The rules don't change. It's the same thing. It's simply calling upon the Lord, prayer and supplication, receiving that peace that passes, working with the peace that passes, true, honest, just, pure, lovely. What is that? That's faith that God is taking care of things. It's faith that that cast really is setting the bone. It's faith that the mending is happening. You know, when I get off and I, you know, go back to the negative, it's like ripping the cast off. I'm going to keep it, keep that cast on, and then learn of me. There's a restored function. God's going to show me something. I'm going to change what I'm doing. And again, this is different for everybody. What does that mean? He's going to show you. He's going to show you. There's going to be forgiveness, grace, things that you're going to be doing, but that's going to be that letting go and doing it God's way. It'll be a way of faith. It'll be a way that will make you vulnerable to God, but I'll tell you what, that's also in that vulnerability where your healing is going to come as well too. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for just the healing of the brokenhearted that you see into our hearts. You see our hurt, our torn emotions, and that you have a place for us. And we're so thankful, Lord, that, man, so much, this is not a man thing. It's not a preacher thing. It's not a pastor thing. It's a Lord Jesus Christ thing where we're coming unto you and we can find that rest for our souls, that healing for our emotions. Praise God. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree with these words. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I come before you. I thank you, Jesus, that you know me, that you love me, that you're a safe place. I come unto you with this thing that has broken my heart, that has broken my emotions. I need your help. I sit at your feet. I listen to what you have to say. Your words have healing. I'm restricting my movement to you, my great physician. I take your yoke, your way of doing things. Your anointing is in me. You show me what's safe. You show me what's good. You show me what's anointed. I'm going to stay with that. I'm going to stay there and let that healing happen. I don't have to understand how it's happening. I just need to know that it's happening as I'm sticking with you. And when I'm ready, you're going to let me know. I'll get the understanding, but I'll be in a place where I have ears to hear. I can receive correction. I can receive grace to forgive. I can put pressure on that place again. Because I'm healed. Because you healed me. Just as sure as a body, you heal my emotions. You're a good shepherd. Thank you for telling me to come. I do come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I just really wanted to speak about that. You know, when you talk about healing broken heart stuff, it's just, the spectrum's huge. The causes are vast. This is kind of a high-level flyover of basic principle things we can all hook up with. We can all hook up with the fact that we got to come to Him. Come to Jesus. Just restrict some movement. Like that guy I bumped into at that seminar. I'll tell you, what was he doing? He'd gotten some news. He was restricting his movement. He was going to sit under the sound of the Word, meditating it day and night. There are, like I said, it's always good to do that, but there are times when it's imperative you do that. Man, and in that restricting, in that, I'm just going to be saturated with the Word of God. Songs, hymns, spiritual songs, I'm just going to get in this atmosphere that is just going to give God something to work with. And in that place, I take His yoke, receive that healing, and then begin to hear what God has to say as He restores your soul. Praise God.